B-Pod Studios.
Hey, you're on the air.
Guys?
Brock?
Yeah, Brock Beasley here on this end.
What can I do for you, sir?
I'm right outside your door, and I'm trapped in my car.
Why? Hi, what, get out of your car. I mean, if you need to
I
see
can't.
Us, you can't. Why can't you?
It's raining, man.
You can't get out of. Don't you have it? You're a big businessman and all that stuff. Don't you have an umbrella?
Well, I wouldn't expect it to rain this hard. And, hell, you know, I'm wearing $200 socks.
Okay. I understand. I understand.
What I would like for you to do.
Yes, sir.
Is to run me out a cup of coffee.
I'm not going to run you out a cup of coffee. I'm on the air. What, run you
guys,
out a cup of coffee?
Yes.
Because you're in the parking lot because you're afraid to get your $200 socks wet.
I ain't afraid of nothing. I told you I'm trapped in my vehicle and I need you to render aid.
With a cup of coffee so you can... Well, is that why you called, sir, in the middle of the show? I thought maybe you called to wish me a happy 20th anniversary on the air.
Why on earth would I do that?
Yeah, good point.
When you've been here 20 years, I'll do that.
I have. It's been... it was 20 years at the beginning of the week. 20 years I've been employed by you.
Well, if you had been employed 20 years...
Yes, sir.
You would have received an email from an address that says, do not reply.
I got
and
that.
It would have said something to the effect of, you have now worked for me for 20 years.
I got that, but it wasn't like a personal letter, a handshake, a gift certificate, a dinner somewhere,
so
a plaque.
Once again, we're dealing with Stan being ungrateful.
Ungrateful? I would think you would be grateful for an employee.
Did you or did you not just accuse me of not acknowledging the fact that you've worked here for 20 years?
You personally did not. I got some computer-generated email.
Didn't it have my signature on it or something?
No, it said the corporate office.
It wasn't signed by nobody?
No, it was signed by nobody.
I guess they hadn't got that done yet. They have some... You know what it is? You can put a signature on there if you got the paid version of Adobe Acrobat.
Yes.
But our free trial ran out, and that's probably why the signature wasn't there.
All right.
Well, it seems to me like you take it for granted that you're employed.
Oh, trust me. You remind me of it every single
week. You know what? You ought to be sending me a thank you note for putting food on your table for 20 years.
Is that why you called?
You ungrateful bastard.
Is that why you called? Is that why, I mean, is that what it is? It's all about run out and get you a cup of coffee.
Whether that's why I called or not, that's beside the point, guys.
What's the point?
Because we're knee deep in this now, and I expect you to write me a formal thank you note for keeping you employed for 20 years.
Isn't it an exchange of services? You pay me, I provide a service to the company.
You know what? You never gave me nothing. I give you something twice a month.
What are you talking? You're
20,
my...
For 20 damn years.
You're my employer. Oh, for crying out. I don't want to... look.
No. Now you've gone down this road, buddy boy. I want you to at least acknowledge on the air what a great man I am and what I've meant to your family.
I don't want to do that.
And I don't want to send you something that is disingenuous.
So it would be disingenuous if you sent something to me commemorating 20 years on the air.
You want to get real about it?
I want to look. If we're talking about this subject now, in the middle of my show, yeah, let's get real about it. Let's get real,
guys. You know, I can't believe we keep going down this same road over and over again.
Howie, you're the one that calls me in the middle of the show, and you go and you bring up stuff that should be handled in meetings, that should be handled one-on-one, that should be discussed behind closed doors.
You know what? I got a busy schedule.
Well, nobody's denying that. Well, I would. I've seen some. Never mind.
Go ahead there, buddy boy.
Yes, sir. You have a busy schedule. Now you're just sitting in the car with nothing better to do than to call your afternoon show.
I'm not sitting in the car. I'm trapped in the car.
Whatever.
Due to extreme weather conditions.
What do you want from me? What do you want?
That's a good question.
What can I do? What do you need from me?
Well, let's start with this.
What?
What have you done for me? What have you done this week so far?
What have I done this week so far? How about, you know what? What have I done for year after year?
I haven't had a chance to listen. Why don't you give me a little refresher course on exactly what you've been up to with the funny ha-has?
What do you want me to go bit by bit of what we've done on this show?
You make a single person laugh?
I would like to think so.
All right, make me laugh.
You never laugh.
I'll tell you what, I laughed my ass off just a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I had to go out and fire some people out in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I had comp tickets for Carrot Top.
Oh, you went to go see Carrot Top after firing some people out in Vegas.
I laughed my ass off.
What, during Carrot Top or firing the people?
Nah, that's low class. That may be true, but it's low class, and I try to do it, you know, out of earshot.
Right, right. Why are you calling me? Other than to degrade me.
I did have first of all, I wanted a cup of coffee brought out to my car.
I thought somebody might have brought it out to you. Anybody bring it out to you right now? I mean, I thought it would have been brought out to you. My apologies.
I wasn't calling to fire him yet, was I?
Who? What are you talking about?
Let's get real, then.
Okay. What now?
I've already made the decision that I'm going to let you go.
What? What? You're going to let me go? Let me go? What are you talking about?
You know the only thing keeping you on the air right now?
What's that?
Contract with the Miami Dolphins.
How is a contract with the Miami Dolphins keeping me on the air?
Well, because I got it all in place. I've already interviewed a full air staff to replace all you losers at K-Rock. And I got a concept that's going to finally turn K-Rock around and make some money.
Oh, really?
It's going to be called, how do you say 96 in Spanish?
I don't know. I don't know what 96 is. Tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete, ocho, nueve.
Okay, so it'll be nueve, seis.
Yeah, something like that. Nueve, seis, whatever.
Well, it's something like El Fiesta.
I don't speak the language. What are you going to go?
Nueve, seis, El Fiesta.
Yeah, and so you're going Spanish?
Yeah, but we can't do that until the Dolphins contract runs out. And I got an out, I think, if they don't win a game or something by, what, 6? I don't know. I'm talking business. But I already got feelers out to Senior Loco.
Senior Loco? Who's Senior Loco?
He's real big in Arizona.
Yeah, with the Hispanic community.
I don't understand a word he says, but I'll tell you this, he makes me laugh more than you do.
Well,
you know why?
And done deal.
You know why?
Why?
Because he puts effort into his show.
Are you saying I don't put effort into this show? I bend over backwards to try to please you guys.
I don't hear any funny noises. I don't hear any donkey sounds. I hear all that with Senior Loco.
Funny noises and donkey sounds.
Yeah. That's a universal language.
Donkey sounds.
Yep.
I don't know anything about that. What do you want from me? What you've just
you
told
go
me?
To, you go to Senior Loco's website.
Yeah. What about
you know
Senior? What about his website?
You're gonna see a lot of donkeys and a lot of bare-breasted women.
We can't put bare-breasted women up on our website. You banned it.
Why the hell not?
You said we can't.
Did I say it would be inappropriate?
Yes.
Okay, that's why. But see, it's a lot different And they can get away with a lot more when they're speaking Mexican.
I know that.
Because the FCC don't know what they're saying.
I know.
I'm told this show is filthy.
It is.
How's your Spanish?
Maybe
we can find a place for you.
Like doing what?
I don't know. Maybe we can keep you on the afternoon if you can get a little attitude adjustment. Just say something in Spanish.
Casa, baseball, been very, very good to me. How's that?
Well, see, baseball, I understand that word.
Well, that's a universal word, Brock. It's universal. Everybody, baseball's one of those universal words.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's
see? Good. Yeah.
FCC no habla español.
There you go. See, you and I could be a team.
Well, hell yeah.
You and I, it would be the Brock and Stan show.
Well, no, guys, that's been a long time since I've done it.
Buenos dias, El Brocco. Buenos dias, mi muchacho El Brocco.
Hey, El Donde.
El Donde?
El Donde, Dorco. See, that's funny.
That's funny. Look at that.
See, I've been thinking about this all wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been thinking if we turn it into Nuevo Cesa,
yeah.
El Fiesta,
yeah.
That I just have to let you go.
Yeah, you don't have to.
But if you guys can pick up a Spanish book.
Yeah, no problem. Look, the Brock and Stan show, the only question I got for you, Brock, and it's a tough one. If it becomes the Brock and Stan show in Espanol, hola, muchacho Brocco, if that goes on like that.
Hola.
Yeah, there you are.
Buenos retardes.
What do we do with Haney then?
Oh, he's gone.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, Stan. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. And liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. All afternoon. Mm-hmm.
viciously fracking Southwest Florida airwaves for decades. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
Oh, you haven't heard the punchline yet.
No, I haven't. I'm waiting for it. We got a story going on off the air that is not fit for air.
Well, okay? It's not fit for life.
It's not. I can't figure it out.
And again, I don't do anything.
No, never have. Go ahead, kick that in. Seems like it's not. Give it a start. Yeah, Erica, you got it. Try it again.
I've been having problems with this, Stan. You know that. You want me to try it again?
Jump start it. Give it a pump. There.
You've got to build up a charge.
I mean, this should have been done, you know, over Labor Day. Try it now. Give it again. Yeah. Give it a second.
It's a Briggs and Stratton, Stan. You know it's going to be fine.
So they were good. Give it a second.
Skip one oil change. And...
yeah. Barton.
What was that at the end?
Yeah, that was me.
Better try it again. I mean, I think we got enough pressure built up now where we can fill up a bounce house. You want to go?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's.
Yeah, it's right. That's me. Hope everybody had
I can't guarantee how long it's going to last, but.
Nice Labor Day.
Yeah, people don't need to know behind the scenes stuff like that.
All right, I'm not talking about behind the scenes stuff. I'm not going to go out.
No, I mean,
and
it's
start
just
talking about
it's just,
your Labor Day.
No, I mean, it's just embarrassing that people know that we run the show and we got to pull start it.
it's been you know, around a long time, so things wear out.
Yeah, I mean, I've been running that piece of equipment since '93.
Yeah. I know you will know this.
And if people are wondering, the fumes aren't that bad.
No, you get used to them. The hell, we've been out sitting for 30 years doing a show next to a microwave radio tower.
What?
That stuff's been beaming through us. I don't know.
You know, I knew that at one point, but I forgot it.
Yeah. 30 straight years, right in there.
But they keep telling, the show keeps getting better and better.
That's what they say. Don't believe them. But yeah, seriously, we're 25 feet away from a tower, and we've been next to it for 30 years. Something has to be wrong there.
Yep, broadcasting from under a large rat's nest.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. Somebody died that you're not going to even hear about.
I know.
But you know.
I know damn well who you're talking about. And you know him for one thing, I know him for another.
Yeah, I knew him as Sergeant Crocker, or Detective Crocker, on Kojak, Kevin Dobson.
I knew
him from Knott's Landing.
As Patrick Mac McKenzie from Knott's Landing.
This guy was, and nobody's talking about it, in the 70s and 80s, he was a huge star.
Yeah, he was.
And
you know, you know what, the first thing, I'm sorry, it's selfish. The first thing I saw when I saw that he died, I'm like, how did we miss him?
Yeah.
How did we not have him on the show?
And he was still, right up until the time of his death, making movies.
Because we have had virtually every other member of the cast of Knott's Landing on the show at one time or another.
We've had several members of Knott's Landing on the show.
We have had Donna Mills.
Yes.
We have had Michelle Lee.
Yes.
Joan Van Ark.
Yes.
I don't think we had Ted Shackelford, but we tried.
Yeah, yeah, he was never on the show.
We've had the three leading ladies of Knott's Landing on the show.
On the show. And keep in mind, we had them on several decades ago when they were still big name stars.
Mm-hmm.
And the show was fresh in everybody's mind. I don't think anybody remembers shows like Dynasty, Knott's Landing.
You know what? Kevin Dobson is a great actor because when he came in, Michelle Lee's husband, Sid, had died.
I don't know anything about that.
And everybody was very protective of Michelle Lee. and she started dating Mac. And at first, you thought Mac was a bad guy. But it turns out he was just misunderstood, and he's a great guy.
Yeah. Kevin Dobson was the actor's name. 77. They say he had a heart attack. I don't know the details.
No, it's 70. Oh. They didn't even say that. What I saw is that he passed away due to medical complications.
Yeah, I heard heart.
Don't we all?
You know who else? Lou Brock.
No.
Lou Brock passed away. Another piece of our childhood.
I don't like this.
St. Louis Cardinal.
I don't like this.
One of the greatest base stealers of all time.
Now, I'm not complaining about aging in general. It's just that I like to have that one generation above us that we believe are more competent than we are.
Correct. Lou Brock, a baseball Hall of Famer, one of the greats, passed away over the weekend.
When we've got nobody left to look up to, that means it's us.
Yeah, and I don't want that.
Nope.
We're going to take a break. Mike Trinopoulos on today. If you want to text a question to Mike, he will be on in a little more than an hour. Your opportunity to talk to a lawyer.
Because today's Tuesday.
Yes. Monday's passed.
No, nobody's thinking that way.
But it is. It's Tuesday, not Monday. Tuesday. So Mike Trinopoulos will be here. Also, Stan's name that movie today. Been going on good themes lately.
Oh, yeah, movies.
The Waitstaff. Having a waiter or waitress come to your table.
I have to tell you, I had never seen the movie We're the Millers.
You've never seen it until this weekend.
But you played so many clips from it, I'm like, I'd like to watch something other than gloom and doom. You know what? I've never seen that movie. We're the Millers, and I've heard a lot of funny clips. Let's take a look at that.
And?
I understand why you like it. I've never seen Jennifer Aniston like that before.
Well, it never looked better.
And that's odd. Because she was no spring chicken when she made that movie.
Oh, no, that was made about 3 or 4 years ago.
But I'll tell you this. She spent some time in a strip club to understand how to move.
She knew exactly what she was doing. Who's kidding who around here?
And then Julia Roberts' little niece was in it. And she was just a pain in the ass. And then,
you know, that boy when he got bit there.
That was funny.
Yeah.
But the deal, if you haven't seen the movie, spoiler alert, they're pretending to be an all-American family in this RV, but they're really running drugs from Mexico.
Yeah, well, thanks. Everyone's upset now.
And then, when it gets towards the end of the movie, they start to realize, you know what?
They are a family.
Maybe we really are a family. And then they go in witness protection where they're all
now
living
you're really
together.
Ruining it.
Well, come on. How long did it take me to see it?
They're planning to make a sequel.
I was the last one to see it, Stan. Everybody else has seen it.
It's a COVID world in Hollywood right now.
But I thought I was going to vomit. This was all a fake family. Oh, my. Yes, it was.
Stan and Haney. 96.
I mean, let's have some tether to reality.
All right. I'm glad you saw the movie.
I thought we were a family.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to remain employed on partially reduced wages and benefits. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Tuesday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Hour away from Mike Trinopoulos, attorney at law, joining us. Feel free to text your question to an attorney. Mike Trinopoulos will be posing those questions to him in about an hour later on today. Stan's name that movie.
Is it illegal to be crazy?
No, as long as you abide by the law. If you're crazy, you're usually disturbing the peace. You're usually doing something in public which would be inappropriate, which can be shut down. If you're in a home and you're crazy and you pose harm to you or others, then there are things that can be done. But being crazy in itself, most people are, and that's, you're not breaking a law.
Hmm. It's a problem.
It's a fine line. It's a guessing game.
Did you see Never Let It Be Said That the Seattle Police Don't Have a Sense of Humor? Did you see what happened yesterday?
What?
They, the protesters in Seattle decided it would be a great idea on Labor Day to go and have a giant protest in front of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, basically like their private club, their union thing, where they're allowed to hang out and not be bothered. So they thought it would be brilliant to violently protest that. They show up with the rocks and Molotovs, and there's only a couple of cops there. And they start pushing around the cops and throwing stuff at them, you know, like maybe six to eight guys. Then all of a sudden, you hear the dulcet tones of Big and Rich played at a very high volume. The particular selection was Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. Mm-hmm. And at that point, out from behind buildings, from every direction, comes the entire Seattle Police Department. And they're not waiting this time. They rode their bikes into them, immediately started arresting people.
Good.
All while enjoying good old-fashioned country music.
Some country music.
Which really made the protesters angry.
Yep, I bet it did.
That, you know, being hit with a baton was one thing, but being subjected to Big and Rich, they felt that was really the problem.
All right. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North, US 41 North Naples.
Yep, bringing you this 2020 moment.
Here's more of a 2020 moment. Remember earlier in the year, our people that send us our feeds put together the song FU 2020. Remember that song? Well, they put out, we're coming close. It's been a month since that song came out. They've got a sequel to FU, it's 2020.
Oh, yeah, if they thought they were done then.
Here you go. Enjoy.
Politics on Facebook, I'm losing my sanity. FU 2020, I'm done. I just blocked every single member of my family. FU 2020, I'm done. My wife works from home. She never leaves the house. FU 2020, I'm done. The kids are distance learning. They never leave the house. FU 2020, I'm done. Beirut scarred, California charred, and Carol Baskin's on Dancing with the Stars. We said goodbye to Black Panther. FU 2020, I'm done. Wakanda forever and F cancer. FU 2020, I'm done. COVID deaths, social unrest, and we haven't made it to the election yet. I think we all know how this crappy year will end. FU 2020, I'm done. Kanye friggin' West will be elected president. FU 2020, I'm done. 2020 sucks. 2021, we need ya. FU 2020, I'm done. And Taco Bell got rid of the Mexican pizza? What the hell, man? Come on! FU 2020, I'm done. I'm done.
Ta-da! Somehow I think there might be a third. I'll tell you, this series has really been one of the bright spots of 2020. We've been bringing it to you all year
long. Is it my favorite?
It is.
And now today's episode of The Married Couple.
Labor Day's over. Summer is over.
That wasn't even like a summer.
Lost summer.
Worst summer ever.
Bummer summer.
Bummer summer.
Join us next time for
Bummer.
The Married Couple.
Got that right. There was no summer.
For a second there, it looked to me like you were drinking bourbon straight out of the bottle.
Who says I'm not?
Oh, sorry.
This, let me set the stage for you on this, because this It's only 5 seconds long. It speaks volumes.
Guy and his instructor are going to do some skydiving. First time doing it. You got the instructor with you. You're going off in tandem. The skydiver was so nervous about skydiving, passed out in mid-fall, going down.
Oh, from nerves?
Yeah. Oh, passed out.
Oh, jeez.
And then...
dead weight.
Yeah, and then in mid-fall, came to and realized, I'm falling in the sky. That's all you need to know. Passed out, comes to, in mid-skydive.
Hey! Okay?
Why do people do that? You know what? Unless you're a member of the 82nd or 101st, there's no need to do that.
Again, skydiving, nerves, passes out, instructor trying to revive them. They wake up, realize they're free-falling. There goes this machine again.
It's too smart for its own good.
It is. Hold on. Here you go.
And
no. No. There it is.
Hey! Okay?
Oh, God. Whatever that guy is paid, it's not enough.
Yeah. Beware of hand sanitizer. Yeah, we all need it. But it has alcohol in it.
Man, I've seen so many varying things on its effectiveness. I just...
a mom in...
I used to believe that it worked.
Yeah. I think it only works for like 5 seconds. A mom in Austin named Kate Wise is recovering after she used hand sanitizer. Here's the smart part. She used hand sanitizer, lit a candle, and accidentally set herself on fire. Freshly sanitized.
All right.
Light a candle. Catch fire.
The explosion happened in a matter of 2 seconds, lit my entire body on fire, and I heard my daughter screaming, "Mom's on fire, mom's on fire."
The active ingredients are ethyl alcohol, and it'll say that it is very flammable. I don't think anybody would think consciously that this household item that we commonly use, especially nowadays, would cause a fire.
You don't?
Why wouldn't you think that?
I don't know.
I would.
Right out of Willy Wonka.
I mean, you get a little buzz just from contact with your skin.
Yeah, right out of Willy Wonka. The creator of Jelly Belly is retiring and giving away a candy factory. Willy Wonka style. He's holding...
well, Jelly Belly became mega popular due to Ronald Reagan.
That's right. The owner is holding a contest where people can pay to search for necklaces hidden in each state. And the 50 winners will be entered into a drawing for the candy factory.
We are doing the goldticket.com treasure hunt.
It's going to be a treasure hunt across the whole entire country where we're going to be hiding these right here. We've already hidden quite a few of them. We're going to be hiding them in every state.
With the possibility of winning $5,000.
We're going to have the ultimate treasure hunt where the winner will be receiving a key to our candy, one of our candy factories. We're looking for you, Charlie, out there.
So it's kind of like the Willy Wonka thing. Some little kid to run the factory.
Well, what are we doing here? No, shut kidding. The mics off. Yep. Let's start looking.
Yep. Let's find those keys.
In a new documentary,
Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne reminisce about the time in 1989
when Ozzy tried to choke Sharon to death.
Ah, those what a day.
Of course. You know, they remember back, he was high at the time when he tried to kill her.
And you knew who you were then. Girls were girls and men were men.
I felt the calmest I'd ever felt in my life.
He came into the room and he just said, we've come to a decision that you've got to die. You know, he was calm, very, very calm, and then just suddenly he lunged across at me and just dived on me and started to choke me. He got me down on the ground on top of me, and I was feeling for stuff on the table, and I felt the panic button, and I just pressed it. And next thing I know, the cops were there.
All I remember was waking up in Amersham Jail, and I asked the cop, why am I here? So he read, John Michael, I've been arrested for attempted murder of Sharon Osbourne. I'm like, that hit me like it's like a hammer in between the eyes.
Does it make you feel uncomfortable when you talk about it?
Well, it's not exactly one of my greatest achievements.
Thank you, Ozzy. Once again, Ozzy, unlikely voice of reason.
Wow.
What do you expect him to say?
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of it. That was one of my highlights.
We've made a decision. You have to go.
It's...
I wonder what drug that was.
I don't know. He was high. A lot of stories between the two of them. Half of them, I don't know if they're real or what. They're good.
If that's made up, that's effed up.
Yes! Mike Tyson. I guess him and Roy Jones Jr. has been pushed back a little bit.
Oh, you mean like any movie you want to see or any album you want to hear, it's been pushed back.
Unlike, and I'm going to use this as a footnote before I get
it
into
it. It doesn't matter.
Story.
Video games, everything, well, that's been postponed.
Have you heard Oscar De La Hoya wants to make a comeback, and he calls the Roy Jones Jr. Tyson thing a bunch of BS because it's an exhibition. De La Hoya wants to come back as soon as possible and fight for real.
All right, so Tyson, Jones, and then you'll have De La Hoya, Camacho, number what?
Well, Camacho's dead.
He's got a son, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got, yes, Hector Macho Camacho Jr.
Yeah. Nobody needs to know that the Macho Man is dead.
Yeah.
It's just De La Hoya Camacho, and then Roman numerals.
Yeah. Magic. Mike Tyson's being...
Did we see the last one?
Of the Camacho? His Camacho's last fight?
Yeah, didn't we see him in De La Hoya?
Yeah, we saw...
What number was that?
That was the first and only time they met. And De La Hoya creamed him.
That was the only time they fought?
I'm 90% sure.
Okay.
But back to Mike Tyson.
But a lot of star power.
Yeah. He was being interviewed and admits.
Why are people admitting these things?
I don't know. Admits that he has gotten sexually aroused while training for big fights. And that.
And why did we need to know this? No judgment if that happens to you, Iron Mike, but why do we need to be burdened with that?
He wants to tell you.
Here you are. It's not real, but sometimes I struggle with the fact of why it's a possibility I can really hurt somebody.
What do you mean? You struggle with the possibility that you could hurt them?
That is sometimes. It's orgasmic sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah. Hey, what does it mean when fighting gets you erect? What does that mean?
It's a good question. It means you're getting excited.
Yeah.
So that's going through your mind right now?
Well, that's how I get when I was a kid. And I, you know, sometimes I get the twinkle.
Saying that it gets you orgasmic, that's a strange thing to say.
Well, that's just what I wanted to find out because you're really bright. And I thought you would figure it out. No, I'm being very serious.
No, I know. I know you're being serious. But, I mean, no one will understand that other than you.
Twinkle.
Yeah, he gets that twinkle. This year...
You know, how do you think the great Roy Firestone would have handled that?
This year has been so off that the second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown...
Oh, God.
...is the Kentucky Derby that is not run in May. It was run in September for the first time since 1945, and that was because...
And the Derby wasn't even the main event in Louisville.
No. No.
But somehow, Bob Baffert comes out smelling like a rose.
Like a rose. And so didn't Stan.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, did you have it?
They come to the final furlong. Authentic.
A couple. 8-1.
Chase the Law all up to get by him. Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Chase the Law still trying to get him. Authentic. Chase the Law. Here's the wire. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby. John Velasquez does it with Authentic. Chase the Law has to settle for second. And then with Mr. Big News, Honor AP ends up fourth. 2 minutes. 0.61 seconds was the final time for Authentic. Bob Baffert has done it for the sixth time.
He has.
I always feel like he's up to something.
He is. He got suspended for 5 months or 5 weeks this year. Juicing up the horses. So I Tis the Law was like the favorite.
And Tis the Law did the hard work.
Yeah. Well, but that was a shortened Belmont, too. It wasn't a mile and a half.
Well, what the hell was that, then?
It was nothing.
Was it, like, the same as the Preakness?
Yeah. It was a shortened a Belmont.
This means nothing.
I know. So I said, Tis the Law. It's going to be in the money somehow. And it was, like, 4-5.
Yeah, so, chalky.
So I played a three-horse exacta. With Tis the Law in the mix, and it came in second with Authentic and the horse, the New York something. I put them in a three-way exacta, and it came in.
Now, Authentic went off, I think, at 8-1?
Yeah.
So if you placed a $2 bet, I think it returned, what, 18?
Something like that. I can't remember. I think after I put the bet down on a $2 bet, came back $12 and something on a $2 bet.
Yeah. When it comes to horse racing, it's a funny thing, and unless you've been around it and really put your mind to trying to place wagers and stuff, the oddest thing is that you can go down, they run a bunch of races on Derby Day, and you can go down the card and be reasonably informed. But for some reason, when it comes to Derby, Preakness, and Belmont, throw it all out.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Anything. And it's a strange year. Grab bag brought to you
well,
by...
Well, yeah, we're talking about the Kentucky Derby in September.
Yeah, and I think in October is when the Preakness is going to be run.
I thought that was already done.
No. Belmont. Shortened Belmont. When we
So the Preakness is the last.
This year.
I don't think they shouldn't run it. It's not a safe city.
When we come back.
If Louisville was that bad.
Well, Maryland, Baltimore. Well, we'll see.
Well, see, Baltimore has a native population. And then if you go and add the people that showed up in Louisville yesterday.
Yeah.
Could make for quite a mess. And it's horse racing is fraudulent to begin with, but we set aside disbelief in a normal year. Yeah. This year won't hack it.
The local beat is next. We're looking for a wine thief.
So does Authentic get the stud fees that would go to a legit Derby winner?
Yeah. Well, Jerry Bailey was even talking about it on the no matter what you say, whether it was if. Tis the Law won and had a chance at a Triple Crown. No matter what, this year, 2020, has an asterisk next to it that nothing was normal about it. Length of the Belmont, the timing of the race, in the fall, the amount of spacing between the races, all that puts an asterisk next to this year. All of it.
So, authentic Giacomo, who gets the bigger fee?
Authentic. We'll be back.
Stan, I love Giacomo.
I know. 15 years ago, this week, or last May.
What was he, 99 years. To 1?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, I love that
made
horse.
Everybody mad.
And only because you mispronounced it.
Giacomo is what I think.
You
I
went,
said.
No, you said Giacomo?
Yeah, it was Giacomo. Haney bet it and won at 98 to 1. We'll be back.
Excitingly new. Dramatically different.
Stan and Haney, 96 J-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Tuesday edition. Yes, it's Tuesday, not Monday. It's Tuesday. In about 25 minutes, we will be joined via telephone with Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law. He is an attorney. He comes on every Tuesday to help you guys. That's what he does. If you have a legal question for Mike Chiannopoulos, feel free to text us on the Absolute Law text line, 239-277-9600, and pose your question to Mike Chiannopoulos. He'll be on in about 25, and hopefully give you an answer you're looking for. If not, here's the thing. Mike will tell you right off the bat, you might need an attorney. You probably don't need an attorney. Or if he doesn't handle that kind of law, he will point you in the right direction to get you the correct attorney. That's what he does. That's Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law. Later on today, Stan's named that movie. Today, restaurant wait staff, your waiters, your waitresses, scenes in movies where you're in a restaurant and you're dealing with a waiter or waitress.
All right. That's a ways away.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one question?
If it's a legitimate question, I'll give you a legitimate answer.
In any of the scenes, is it from a movie that's about serving salmon?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Write it down. Tell me. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Again, there are so many movies set in a restaurant.
This is, it's criminally.
I've got five of them. There's probably 100 of them, more. And so I can't put it all in one segment. Well, last week I had to drop one because we didn't have enough
time. It's one of the best.
No.
Do you know that movie?
No, I don't. And I don't think a lot of people would know it.
You've got to watch that movie.
That's a movie that I try to at least have a movie that in some generation it was really well known. I'm not always successful, but sometimes.
Stan, I'm going to ask a favor of you.
What?
Can I have 2 minutes to sell you on the movie?
Well, tell everybody what the movie is. I mean, I don't think that they have an opinion one way or the other about the movie. If you like it, I'd watch it.
Now, you told me to watch We're the Millers. You haven't.
You watched it on your own.
You haven't watched a movie I've recommended to you in years.
Since that Crush video.
We got some good radio out of that.
Yeah, we did.
The movie, because Stan's topic today is about scenes involving a waitstaff.
Yeah.
Well, the people that did Super Troopers did a movie called Slammin' Salmon, and it was set in a restaurant that was owned by a former heavyweight champion of the world.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
I'll start it again.
All right.
Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
It's Madropides, sir. It's Greek.
This says Meat Drapes.
It's actually pronounced Madropides.
Well, why doesn't it sound like that when I say it?
What you pigs are eating is the blackened cod. It's blackened because it's gone bad.
Hey, Rich, tell Dave to cook that swordfish. fish that I caught.
Somebody kill this thing!
Why is it taking so long? You have to dominate the swordfish. Only then can you saute it.
Why do they call you nuts?
Because I'm crazy.
How is everybody feline this evening?
You're a weird dude, you know that?
Feline.
Everybody in my office! No, 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 no! Not the customers. Wait staff!
Champ is offering a prize to the top-selling waiter.
First place gets $10,000. Last gets a broken rib sandwich. And I wasn't even trying to hurt him.
I am so gonna win this.
Thank you, Champ.
He's bazonkers. Get him off the floor.
Yeah.
Aren't we all little bazonkers?
Out of the tank! Out of the tank!
When we order dessert, could you put the ring in it?
It's safe with me. You have my word. Rich, did you just take a bite of that?
Hey, my advice? You have to pass it anally.
Number two is the bullet.
I see all that chocolate.
I know, I love chocolate.
This is not. Enjoy not winning 10 grand, sucker.
That's you.
It's just down the hall.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Get cared for the SS for delicious, okay?
I assume that's the horse.
Never assume. When you assume, you make an ass out of yourself.
Never assume.
Yeah, you got one texter that's a big fan of that movie.
If nothing else, it's this that lives forever.
Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
It's Madropity, sir. It's Greek.
This says Meat Drapes.
It's actually pronounced Madropides.
Well, why doesn't it sound like that when I say it?
Let's
that.
Okay.
And a broken rib sandwich lives forever.
Let's do the
and thank you, Lone Texter.
Lone Texter knew right off the bat that's his favorite.
It's a great movie. Nobody saw it,
which is why it's not included. Thank you. All right, local beat. That the movies coming up later on. Mike Chiannopoulos and
the movies that Stan will feature you will have seen.
Yeah, that people know about.
Who is Guy Meat Drapes?
This is Dateline. Well, mainly Estero and Naples. This is from the news press. We got a wine thief on our hands, a boozer. Man accused of slipping high-end wine down his shorts.
Oh,
costing Naples store over $2,000.
How can you fit $2,000 of wine in your shorts?
And the thing is, you'll see in this story, he went virtually unnoticed as just a regular customer until they looked at the footage. Here you go. After seeing Southwest Florida Crime Stoppers request to help identify a wine thief in Estero, Suki Honeycutt, owner of Tony's Off Third in Naples, believes it might be the same man stealing wine from her shop. Employees noticed they were missing bottles of wine when doing inventory, and when they went through their surveillance cameras, they found video of a man taking the wine. Says Honeycutt, he would take a bottle of wine and slip it down his pants. Their footage saves, their video camera footage saves for about 4 weeks, so they were able to see the same man come in and take high-end wine for four consecutive Saturdays. He took close to $2,000 worth of wine, she said. Honeycutt reported the theft to the Naples Police Department on May 30th. The man was described as being between 50 and 60, according to the Naples Police Department. In the videos, she could see the man sometimes wearing a baseball hat, fedora, and mask, That's being safe, wearing the mask. And would look around a while before putting bottles of wine down his pants. They were also able to identify his car through the video system, but it wasn't close enough to see the man's license plate.
I'll tell you what the license plate was. Wino 1.
Yep. There he is right there.
Yeah, it looks like a normal guy.
Yeah. For the past two Saturdays, detectives came to wait for the suspect. Well, if he's come from the last four Saturdays, we'll wait
now
and
he's
catch
wearing,
him in the act.
He's wearing a mask. He looks an awful lot like former Trump fixer Michael Cohen.
He does.
And he's on probation.
Yeah. For the past two Saturdays, detectives came to wait for the suspect, but hasn't shown the last two Saturdays. Honeycutt said the man took wine ranging in retail value of $125 to $350 each.
Well, that's just foolish.
No one noticed him while he was in the store.
You know what a reasonable price for a bottle of wine is? $12.
$15. No one noticed him while he was in the store because, according to Honeycutt, he looked like a regular customer in the store. Honeycutt has owned Tony's off third since 1995, and they've had thefts twice that she knows of, but never of this value of loss.
So the guy is a wine snob. He knows what he's going
Evidently.
After.
Evidently. On Thursday, a man took nearly $800 worth.
How is that possible?
Of wine from Total Wine and More, the Estero store. How did he take that much wine? By concealing the wine in his pants.
I mean, wouldn't that make you walk funny?
Yes. And I'm looking at the guy, he's wearing shorts. I mean, how do you adjust the wine bottle so that you can walk out of the store?
Well, precisely. It doesn't look like he'd be able to do it. That's why he got away with it.
Yeah. So I guess Crime Stoppers has the info on that as they try to get the mystery
never,
wine man.
Never underestimate the criminal mind.
Never. They got ways to do it.
And one of their greatest tools is normalcy bias. You don't want to believe that someone would brazenly walk into your store and steal from you like that.
You're not hardwired to think that way.
Yeah.
There's just a regular customer looking around. I'm not going to go
and your
frisk
level,
every one of them.
Your level of situational awareness is, that guy looks okay. All right, let me take care of what's going on.
I'm looking at I wouldn't give him a second thought. Although it does look like Michael Cohen.
Yeah, you can't just say Michael Cohen. Former Trump fixer.
Oh, yeah, you got to put that in there. And yet he's on probation.
Yeah, and by the way, even though his book is about all of the things that he's lied about throughout his life, we have to believe him.
Yeah, we have to, because he's former Trump fixer.
Yep. And we believe all women except Tara Reid.
Yeah. Mike Chinopoulos is next. If you have a question for Mike, he's an attorney. He comes on every Tuesday to talk to you. Family law, criminal, DUI, civil, veterans issues. Text your question for Mike at 239-277-9600. It's the Absolute Law text line. Mike Chinopoulos is next on the Stan and Haney Show.
We live our lives according to the biblical principle that it is far better to give than receive. And the management here at Beasley is just fine with that arrangement. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you so much for joining us Tuesday afternoon. I know for a lot of you, us included, you got to realize it's not Monday, it's Tuesday. And in about 30 minutes, we're going to get your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. But it's Tuesday, and that means Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law joins us. Mike, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, buddy. And apologize for last week. I was horribly sick.
Well, you know, the weather was nice. I mean, I tried that too, Stan, but my boss is a jerk. What can I tell you?
Yeah, your boss probably wouldn't take too kindly to you coming down with fake COVID.
He threatened to take the boat away from me.
Oh, my God.
I'm taking the boat.
So, but I'm glad I'm feeling better, glad to have you back on with us.
You know what?
With a Tuesday fixture of
I want to know where do we get in on one of these Trump boat parades that are happening all the time?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been out in a couple of them now. I haven't participated in them, but I've been out in them, and boy, I'll tell you what, they seem to be having a good time.
Yeah, they do.
A junior Beasley was at a resort over the weekend and sat on the beach, and he said he watched for hours as those boats came by. Hours.
That looks like such a bunch of fun.
Yeah, we parked a little Grady down at this place called that we refer to as WTB. We sat there and just watched all those guys come, and there were hundreds of boats,
yeah,
literally.
That's what
they
were saying.
I know that might not sound like a lot, but when you're talking about boats, guys, hundreds is huge.
Yeah.
And it's happening all over the country.
It's an interesting phenomenon. I mean, so is what's everybody's prediction? Doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican, who you vote for, who you don't vote for. The question is, who do you think is going to win, regardless of who you want to win?
Four more years.
I think that's what's
has
gonna
to
happen.
Be.
I think that's what's going
to
happen,
Mike. Before we get to the texts on the Absolute Law text line, I have a hypothetical that involves a person that would like an answer to this. I can't get into the exact details, so I want to do it as a hypothetical.
All right.
This person had a stepfather who was a carpenter and was very close to him. And he, too, was a carpenter, the stepson. And they were very close. The carpenter, the old man, passed away. The family, the other siblings, said, you know what? We want the stepson to get all the carpentry tools. We want the lathes and the bandsaws and all of that to go to him because he's the only one that's a carpenter and it'll be put to good use. At the time of the carpenter's death, they agreed, give it to the stepson. He's a carpenter. Now, years later, it's going to court because one of the sons, who's not a carpenter, wants to fight that being given to the stepson. Is there a case that the stepson can lose all the carpentry equipment that the family initially wanted him to have?
When you say years later, do you have any idea how many?
Two years.
2 years?
Yes.
Yeah, he could still be within the statute of limitations, so it's possible, you know, that a lawsuit could survive. You know, his only defense, I mean, he had to agree to it, too. The person bringing the suit initially had to agree to give the stepbrother the tools or it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
So what's he going to say now? Oh, I was grieving and I changed my mind? I mean, I don't think he has much of a case. Can he bring one? Yes. Is he likely to win? No.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Is it
true possession is 9/10 of the law?
Yeah, and once something like that's already been distributed, particularly if it went through an estate, and I hope this texter is listening, go ahead and give me a call at 239-ASK-MIKE, because I got a few other questions I can ask you off the air, and I think I might be able to really put your mind at ease and show you a way to take a shortcut to get that over with.
Oh, all right. We will let them know. Again, I was a little shy on details because obviously this person didn't want his business out there, but I said I would put it hypothetically. And he really doesn't want to see the stuff that the family wanted him to have, the carpentry tools, suddenly be taken away because one of the siblings wants to start crap.
Right. So, yeah, and I understand he's sensitive. Just call me at 239, ask Mike off the air, and I'll be glad to give you a free consultation and tell you what I think.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to some other questions. Absolute Law text line. This is an interesting one, Mike, and I'd like to hear your take on it. It says, Mike, I have a car that looks very similar to a police car. It's got a spotlight and cage and some of the lighting equipment. Now, in my state, it was not illegal to have anything like that. I have changed the lights so that they are not the same color as a cop car. I removed the red and blue lights. I don't want any problems. It's for my security company that I have. I was stopped the other day for being, quote, suspicious. The officer then told me to turn the lights on. I never, ever turn them on while on roadways. He went back to his car and did whatever they do to do. And then he told me what I was officially pulled over for, which seemed sketchy and like he was making stuff up. He gave me a warning. No harm, no foul. Anyway, the question that's been burning in my head since then is that I am wondering if that is a Fourth Amendment issue or not. Would the Fourth Amendment protect me from having to activate equipment in my car that otherwise I wouldn't touch?
That's a interesting question, and I will tell you this. First of all, I think your Fourth Amendment rights probably were violated because pulling you over was simply just a sham. You know, why did he pull you over? He didn't tell you until afterwards because it was a precipitate stop. He shouldn't have stopped you.
Hold on, you're fading out, Mike.
He didn't like it.
There we go.
Okay? He didn't like it. So that's why you shouldn't have got a ticket, and that's why he didn't have a reason to pull you over. So, yes, I think your Fourth Amendment rights were violated. Is it worth pursuing anything? No. Why? Because, well, you got a warning. No harm, no foul. But I will tell you that there are some cases like that where juries have found, you know, look, the officer stopped them for public safety because it could have been somebody impersonating an officer.
Right.
Which is a huge problem.
Neighborhood. So what I would tell you is, yes, your Fourth Amendment rights were technically violated. No, I wouldn't bring any legal action about it. But the third thing I would tell you is get the lights off your car.
Yeah, well, he said he changed the color of the lights and he uses it for security at his business. But then I'm wondering, what's it doing on the road?
Yeah, well, but you got to drive it to your client's places, and you probably secure more than one property, and et cetera, and that's fine. But get the lights off that look like police lights. Get them out. Get them off the car. Put the ones you want, those ones, put them in your headlights. Put those new headlights in, and they got the blinkers, and it's like a strobe light. It looks like an aircraft. Can't be confused with a cop, and you're not in any trouble.
Yeah, because, you know, the cage and everything else, there are all kinds of reasons for that. You could be be somebody that transports prisoners. You could have it for having a dog back there.
Yeah.
But the lights, you know, that's a big no-no.
Right. You know, and so it's real simple. Just keep yourself out of harm's way. You know, just because you can do something like, you know, have those lights on your car doesn't mean you should. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And this is a case where I would tell you that. Get rid of those lights. You're just asking for nothing but trouble.
And the thing is, and I understand that you can use this for a security thing, that cop spotlight that's right by the rear view outside, that you can look at an unmarked police car and see that thing, and you automatically think, that's a cop car.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens, because there was a guy here that had one of these. They pick up the old cop cars
at an
auction. Mm-hmm. The decals and stuff are taken off of it, but for crying out loud, it looks like a cop car.
Yeah, and, you know, that's okay if it looks like a cop car, even the spotlight, the searchlight, but when we start talking about the red and blue, you know, and he said he changed the color,
yes,
which is good. If they were red and blue, if he had not changed the colors, he would have been arrested right there. Okay,
right.
So I want everybody to understand, you can't use that red and blue. Those are for emergency officers only.
Yeah.
Even if he changed the lights, and let's just say they're, you know, yellow and green, I mean, nothing that could be confused with law enforcement, it's still a bit of a problem. And I would get rid of them because you're just asking for trouble. And I personally don't like to invite police attention when I'm just out running my life.
Got that right.
Yeah, avoid any imperial entanglements. But, you know, if you want to learn more about this, and Mike's right, you should take the lights off, but there is a great documentary that will show you the dangers of this and it's called The Blues Brothers, and you can see what can happen.
It's
the truth. It is because they got a cop car in an auction.
Got cop tires.
Yeah, cop suspension.
I kind of do look like Jake, but you know the thing is, I've always wanted to be called Stormy Chinopoulos.
So yeah, I know you've always warned you off that.
Yeah,
Chrysler 440.
I get it. It's a stripper name. I'm showing my sensitive side, Haney.
Let's go.
Whatever you want to identify as, go ahead.
Okay, Haney, I'm trapped in this body. All right. Don't let him judge me.
How about a nice compromise and you just be known as Storm?
Yeah.
All right. I'll go with Storm as long as I can still use the men's room.
Because I'm not going to ask if you wanted to end have Stormy with a Y or an I.
Yeah, just Storm.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Storm it is.
This is, with the times that we're living in, a very interesting question on the Absolute Law text line, Mike. Listen to what this guy has to say. I don't envy him at all. Mike, he writes, I wanted to ask a couple of questions about evictions under the current moratoriums. Me and my family face homelessness as the sale of the home I am living in fell through. The home I already own has five adults living in it on a month-to-month basis. I am hoping not to evict them since on August 19th, I offered to refund their last month's deposit of $1,600, waive the $550 unpaid rent for the month of August and July, and refund their $1,000 security deposit as long as they are out with all of the stuff by September 19th. On September 2nd, I posted written notices of wish to terminate their tenancy? To each adult individually, asking them to be out on the 19th. My question is, can I file for eviction on September 20th, or do I need to put up new written notices of my intent to terminate their tenancy by September 15th, requesting them to be out by September 30th, and wait until October 1st to file for the evictions? What route do I have with these new laws? Because his house has fallen through. He's got to move back to his old house. He's got to tell five people that he already told, I'm going to bypass everything because you need a place to live. And he's stuck between a rock and a hard place about evicting people.
Well, and therein lies the problem. I would like to ask you, I don't know your name, listener, texter, but please call me at 239-ASK-MIKE because I have some very, very significant things to say to you. They're going to be too long for me to say on the air, and I'm going to need to ask you some questions that are pertinent. So please call me at 239-ASK-MIKE, 239-275-6453. And I got to tell you, Stan Haney, these are the kinds of cases that I like because here's what's going on. Essentially, the government has shifted the COVID burden to the employer, okay, to the landlord by saying we're not going to process evictions. Okay, people aren't getting paid because they lost their job because of COVID, or if you're a server in this community, gosh, you're not making any money. You
went
from making good money to making nothing, okay, and so you can't pay your rent. But the government says the solution to that is, we won't let anybody file evictions. Now, wait a minute. I own that house. I've owned it for 10 years. I have a mortgage on it. I can't pay where I'm living for and that. That's why it's rented. And you're telling me you're legally prohibiting me from enforcing my right to collect rent on a property that I own? Is there any more substantial of a government taking of a private interest? Is there?
Yeah. And this guy was actually in the previous months trying to be cool about it and saying, look, You know, I know that I can't evict you. I'm going to waive the missed rent. I'm going to waive, you know, you're going to get your deposit back. You're going to get everything back. I just need you out. And now the house that he's living in, that fell through. So he's going to have to find himself a place to live.
Wait a second. He can't be evicted, can he?
Yeah, from his,
right.
I guess it was the sale of a house and not based on rent.
But he's already living there.
Yeah.
They can't do anything, can they?
Can they?
And yeah. I mean, I'd have to find out what their arrangement was before I could make that call, whether it was a rent or a lease purchase or just letting them stay there till the closing or whatever. But here's the problem. I'm sorry that that person doesn't have his or her job anymore. But everything about law, every single thing, when you bring it down to its most basic element, is balancing of interest. I mean, the reason we have a speed limit is we have to balance the individual freedom of traveling as fast as we want against the collective interest of public safety, right? Everything's a balancing of interest. Here, when you have this COVID problem and all these people have lost their jobs, there's a balancing of interest, except for there's no balancing. It's just we won't let anybody kick you out of your home. Well, what about those people that own the homes and they have to pay real estate taxes mm-hmm. on them and they have to pay maintenance and they have to pay mortgages and they yeah. have to pay insurance?
Their obligations really? Don't change.
Shift the burden?
And you're right.
Mean, this is ridiculous.
And Haney just said it, Mike, and you're saying it too. The owner's obligations don't change. They're still have to pay the mortgage. They still have to pay the taxes on it. They still have to pay all of that right now. And they're hard hit as well.
Well, and I'm not saying that I want to see anybody kicked out of their home.
No, of course not.
That people don't have money and they lost their job. And yes, there should be some compassion on all of that. But at the same time, if we say, well, you lost your job, so you don't have to pay your rent because the landlord can't do anything about it. Well, now the landlord can't pay his rent. So what have we done here? And, you know, unfortunately, I've seen several people who said, well, I'm just not paying rent because they can't kick me out. They can afford to pay their rent still. They're just not.
Right.
Because, well, they can't kick me out.
Oh, come on.
Unbelievable.
It makes me insane. Anyway, next question, guys. I don't want to get too fired up there.
Go ahead.
Just one quick hypothetical, Mike.
All right.
Stan and I are enjoying a nice piece of fish at an outdoor restaurant when all of a sudden 75 people show up and start screaming at us, and they eat our fish and they drink our beer and tell Stan and I that we're dirt. Do we have any rights?
Yeah, that would be assault at the very least.
Yeah, well, it's happening right now. And it happened with the Antifa coming up to that restaurant and breaking into the restaurant and going up into all the people's faces, grabbing a beer, drinking it off there, and putting the bowl. Smashing plates and everything. Nothing happened.
Nobody arrested or anything else?
Nope.
You see, my problem with this is it's all about equality. You know what? I don't think black men or women should be given a harder time when they're pulled over by a police officer. They're citizens. If they're doing something wrong, give them a ticket, whatever. But I also don't think that, you know, Antifa should be doing these things. Look, there's racism everywhere. Unfortunately, white people don't have a minority on racism. There are racist black people, too. And it doesn't matter who's racist. Racism is wrong. And that should be addressed.
Mike, if people want to get in touch with you, like both of our texters today could use your advice in the hypothetical I gave, which is based on a real thing, could use your advice. You're available 24/7.
I am. You can call me at 239-ASK-MIKE. That's 275-6453. 239-ASK-MIKE. You can call me anytime. Stan's been pretty good, Haney.
Yeah, I have been.
I guess he really was sick last week. He didn't wake up at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I was. And, if you noticed, there for a good 4 or 5 days, there wasn't any phone calls late at night to you.
Yeah, that's right.
At least by me.
Sick.
Yes. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Thank you. Have Viv get a good Labor Day, and I look forward to talking to the audience next week.
All right, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There he goes, Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law.
Yeah, I'm watching this stuff, Stan.
I can't believe it.
And I'm thinking about it a little bit differently. I mean, there's the obvious of people who are rude enough to do that to another human being who they don't know. But the other thing that I'm thinking is that this is happening around the country.
Yeah.
And as if the restaurant business didn't have enough to deal with.
Here's my one comment.
The goal of this is to make people afraid to go out.
You see the Antifa guy that got right up into that person's face with the bullhorn? Now, you know me. I know bullhorns. I know
you're how they fascinated work. By them.
I know how they work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're invading my space at a table in a bullhorn, what's to say my elbow to scratch my face doesn't come up and that bullhorn bumps into your front lips and teeth? Oops. Sorry. It was a mistake.
Yeah. And I'm sure his 74 friends will take care of him and get medical attention because of
needs.
The accident. Yep. Yeah.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We wrote the book on funny, but unfortunately, it's long out of print. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. It's Tuesday. No, it's not Monday. It's Tuesday. Just think, you guys are just about less than an hour. It's quitting time, and by tomorrow morning when you go to work, it's already the middle of the week.
How about that?
That's a nice feeling. We're going to be updating you on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails, and in about 30 minutes, chance to win. Stan's Name That Movie, 5 movie clips, today dealing with the service industry, waiters and waitresses.
Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
It's Madropity, sir. It's Greek. Yeah.
This says Meat Drapes.
It's actually pronounced Madropities.
Well, why doesn't it sound like that when I say it?
That's right. That's not included. But boy, what a clip. Let's
Who wants a broken rib sandwich?
Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home. It's our first look this afternoon. Let's see. Okay, both of these are Fort Myers. We have a crash. South Tamiami Trail and Jamaica Bay Boulevard. The other one, a hit and run. Daniels Parkway and State Road 82. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, here's Haney right now with today's headlines. Hopefully these will be coming up in less than an hour.
Yeah, hopefully, because I don't know how many I can get to. I got more than I can use today. Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you didn't know.
Okay.
This is something I've never heard before.
What?
But I have a feeling our producer emeritus Jokey would be aware of it.
Producer emeritus.
Yes. And they have some logic to back this up, but they say there are more business phone calls made today than any other day of the year, and they use Jokey logic to back it up.
All right, details in less than an hour.
The word discrimination has gone supernova.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most powerful thing in the world. A hair salon was forced by law to remove the word happy as a job requirement.
What?
Because it discriminates against unhappy people.
I'm going to lose my mind.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm having to edit on the fly here because I don't want to, you know, make promises I can't keep. A little something we know about women.
They're crazy and capable of anything.
Dateline Palm Bay, Florida.
Ah, my old hometown. I lived there for about, I don't know, 4 years in Palm Bay.
I lived there for 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
I liked it because I could have my band play at full volume and nobody cared.
Oh, how times have changed.
A Palm Bay woman decides to get herself a little birthday gift.
All righty.
Her birthday gift?
What?
She hired a hitman to off her husband's mistress.
Okay. That's what I want for my birthday.
And finally, I promise you this story is real. We'll have the full details in less than an hour. A drowning man desperately prays for help.
Yes. Yep.
And is promptly rescued by priests on a floating tiki bar.
It's the truth.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Oh, God, laughter. Not that. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
Today is Star Trek Day.
Oh, today's Star Trek Day?
Yep.
That's a Star Warsy.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
fun facts about Star Trek.
Top fun facts about Star Trek.
When the Vulcan nerve pitch didn't work...
Is it pitch or pinch?
Pinch.
I, you know, Star Trek, Star Trek, pinch, the... What?
When the Vulcan nerve pinch didn't work, Spock used the Vulcan kick in the nads. See, I was worried about saying Vulcan.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Ever since that island.
Hey!
Crew members in red shirts worked part-time at Target.
Yep. He's got the wrong show.
Yeah, well, he's got tremendous Star Wars assets.
I just about had enough of you.
And not a single Star Trek.
No, nope, not a single track. That gets the Trekkies really mad.
Yep. Why do they call them Trekkies when it's Star Trek?
I don't know. I don't know either.
Bunch of bitches.
One time, a bumper sticker that reads, "Beam me up, Scotty, there's no intelligent life down here," was purchased by a man who'd had sex with an actual woman. Some of the alien creatures featured on the original Star Trek cost nearly $1.95 to make.
That's right.
Even though Sulu wasn't out of the closet at the time, he was often caught checking out the captain's log.
It is man.
The Enterprise's powerful tractor beam was actually just a kick-ass Roomba.
Yeah.
Spock was the only cast member to appear in the pilot, which you'd already know if you've ever been on a date with someone named Marty or Miles. And finally, the very top fun fact about Star Trek.
Yes, fun fact about Star Trek.
Since its mission was to boldly go where no man's gone before,
yeah.
The very first episode took place in a Joanne fabric store. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Albert, I left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email, ahoy.
I know Junior wants to say, may the force be with you.
Yeah.
But we'll say, live long and prosper. You can't even do it. You can't do it, can you?
I can't do the deal.
Can you do that? Yeah, see, he can do the Spock. I think you got arthritis.
I can't.
You can't do Star Trek because you got arthritis.
No, can't do it.
You really?
I can't.
I mean, look at that.
I can't do that.
You're trying your best, aren't you?
And I can't do it.
No wonder you can't play an instrument.
I know. Well, let's see. What if I...
Force it. Go ahead. Don't break something, but hold it there.
Nope.
It won't stay, will it?
It won't move.
Did that embarrass you in school?
When I would have to do it, there were a few Trekkies at our school, but I pretty much stayed away from them.
But it's okay.
Thank you. This is from our pal and Trekkie, Carlos. Ahoy, guys. Just wanted to say, hope you had a great weekend in Labor Day. I was really cracking up listening to you guys and doing the Kim Jong-un list with Haney's accent.
Oh, come on.
It was hilarious.
Come on.
I almost peed my pants.
I don't get it.
It's hilarious. I also loved when Haney was stating how he almost punched someone for Stan. The whole show was great. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were talking about the fact that you were mad enough to hit me, and I said, well, we've never hit each other, but I did hit someone on Stan's behalf.
Who did you hit on my behalf? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavy set fella. If you'll recall...
What?
By the console here, it's a little confined... And I went in with a series of kidney punches.
Oh, that's true. You did. That's true. Can I have my music back?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's true. Right. Hold on. The whole show on Friday was great.
And then you got mad at me for doing it.
I don't remember that. I was just mad. I would love to hear about that sometime. Well, you just did.
That's the most you're going to hear about it.
I always love the show from the intro to the Lord willing. You'll be back tomorrow. You guys are so talented and most of all, the best for the way you interact with your fans. You make us part of your show each and every day, and that makes everything extra special. We really are a radio family. Signed, Carlos. Thank you, Carlos.
Yep, just like we're the Millers.
Yep. Yeah. Could dance, couldn't she? This is from super fan Scott. Hey guys,
when that redheaded girl walks in on him where he's kissing Jennifer Aniston and Julia Roberts' niece.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring this up last week because we were all just so happy to have you guys back doing live shows. So unfortunately, I was one of the listeners that plummeted into the depths of the internet on Tuesday when I experienced an unexpected best of show. Of course, I don't want to accuse Junior of anything nefarious, but
I thought we were sheltering him.
But I did stumble upon a website entitled JuniorWars.com. Now, I'm not going to even get started what the site has to say about Mark Haney, but there were also ample amounts of theories on why Stan was unable to broadcast that day, and they include hydroxychloroquine, overdose, food poisoning, misdiagnosed COVID, a series of mini-strokes, another laundry basket accident, catching COVID due not to wearing a mask during a recent salon visit where he had a wash and blowout, and some kind of nerve agent poisoning, and Stan being arrested at Turtle Head for HOA violations, among many others. Anyway, love you guys, Junior 2, because I know in my heart he is not responsible for this rash of speculation and fake news. Signed, Scott.
All right. Hey, I have a new dream. I want to know if you want in on it.
What?
I want to pitch Relief Factor.
No.
Right between that creepy father and son.
And Sebastian Gorka.
Yep, you and me. That's right. Just like Pat Boone and Larry Elder, it's Stan and Haney here for Relief Factor.
Yeah.
They'll get it right out to you because we want to help people.
And the two father sons on either side of us.
Yep.
Yep, I've seen it.
That's my dream.
All right.
Can we do it?
Why not?
Set it up, Junior. Hi, Stan and Haney here for Relief Factor.
This was Jackie.
I don't know what it is, but it must work.
Guys, I went shopping. I still don't know what it is.
I have no idea.
I went shopping at a little market I love called Jack's in Lehigh Acres.
Yes, we're familiar with
it. Couldn't resist trying. Was able to get Stan and Haney barbecue saw. Last time, they were all sold out.
Well, Jack's is one of the best at keeping it in stock.
Yep. You know, Gator Hammock itself puts out the best hot sauce, so I knew trying the Stan and Haney barbecue saw was going to be great. The barbecue sauce did you proud. Love you all. Signed, Jackie.
Well, that's thanks to our buddy, Buddy Taylor.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
I know exactly where he's coming from this. On Saturday, I watched Svengoolie. Told you about the creature feature guy? And they showed the blob. And the Guardian was fascinated by the blob.
Well, the blob is based on a true story, you know.
Yeah, it's based on a blob. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, over the weekend, I watched the original 1958 film, The Blob. A fair movie at best, but we learned some things we didn't know. For example, it was the only time that Steve McQueen was billed as Stephen McQueen. Now, the female lead was played by Anita Corso. Now, you may not know the name, but she was Helen Crump.
Yeah.
Andy's love interest on the Andy Griffith Show. And from what I have read, they were quite an item on and off the screen. Just some interesting facts. Now, can anyone explain to me where in the hell Biden gets his info from? He has an ad out right now, and what he says makes no sense to me. In it, he says that the armed supporters of Trump are the problem. WTF. I would like some facts to back that lie up.
Come on, man.
What a bunch of BS. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Yeah, I mean, we don't even cover it anymore.
No, it's just ridiculous. There's the blob.
The blob is based on a true story. Did you know that?
Did it go into the cinema and get everybody in there and then go after the projectionist when the blob took over the movie?
No, but the blob happened.
You know where it lives now? North Pole. Frozen.
Is that what happened to Santa?
Stans.
Because I haven't seen him in years. No.
Santa always flies over my house now.
Well, that would explain it.
Stan's Name That Movie is next. Waiters and Waitresses. 96K Rock.
Listen to new thrills in stereophonic high fidelity. Sound with a new dimension. The new living sound of
Stan and Haney.
The realism, depth, and dimension of a live performance. Right in your own home.
96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us Tuesday afternoon. Going to give you a chance to win here in just a second with what are you eating?
You're just chewing the cud.
My mouth is full.
Hold on. Just saw him stuff something in his mouth.
My mouth is full.
Hold on. The middle of a broadcast.
What are you eating?
I'm chewing.
Chewing what? Cud?
It's like these adult Lunchables they have at the gas station.
Sounds really healthy.
It's got meat, cheese, and olives.
Olives?
Olives, yeah. Here, look.
Any particular kind of meat or cheese?
Genoa salami.
Genoa?
Sure.
Genoa
salami. Yeah, I'm sure that's authentic.
Straight from the homeland.
Yeah. From the old country.
Haney's news in less than an hour.
Adult Lunchables from the gas station.
Yeah. Junior, you want to check traffic? Just look on the board. See if there's anything new.
Nothing on the board.
Thank you very much.
That's our veteran reporter, Herb Welch.
Yeah. We'll have
that's the news.
We'll check traffic again for you in about another 30 minutes right before Mark Haney and the news. Stan's Name That Movie. Phone lines are on lockdown until we play the first clip. These are movies, ton of films. I picked five of them that have the scene in a restaurant dealing with a waiter or waitress.
And let's see if you stay on the roll that you've been on this segment.
I think so.
It has never been better, my friend.
If you answer correctly, you're the first person to answer correctly, you will get one of the following prizes. Winner's Choice, While They Last. We have a gift certificate to Bam's Restaurant in Naples. We have a gift certificate to the Pewter Mug in North Naples. We have a gift certificate so you can get yourself a haircut at Twin Cuts. Four locations. Men's cuts, women's cuts, beard trims, kids' cuts, and hair coloring. And we're down to our last two. Telescoping back scratchers. These are not plastic. They are
Of the highest heirloom quality
telescoping back scratchers for that reach near and far. Two left.
Problem areas,
yep.
Not a problem anymore.
Not with the telescoping back scratcher. So Bam's Restaurant, Pewter Mug, Twin Cuts, telescoping back scratchers. Movies dealing with waiters and waitresses. I'll release the phones after we play our first movie clip. Name this movie.
Hey there, ladies.
Amy's busy, so I thought I'd bring your food out for you.
But I still have some salad left.
Oh, well, would you like me to take the food back and bring it out in a few minutes?
Yeah, and let it dry out under the heat lamps. Just give me the food. Wait. Did that waitress listen to a word I said? This steak is medium rare. I asked for it medium, and I wanted extra gravy on my mashed potatoes. Let me ask you something. How hard is your job? How intelligent do you have to be to take a food order? Jesus!
Ma'am, you're absolutely right, and I apologize. I'm gonna get this fixed for you right away.
Good. Now I can finish my salad.
Gentlemen, we have our first official biatch of the day.
Oh, come on, guys. She wasn't that bad, was she?
Well, Amy, it's your table. You decide.
She was a bitch. Do it.
The first thing we do is we add a little extra gravy to the mashed potato. That's it. Good job, buddy. Good job. Nice one. Followed by a thin spread of cheese for your garlic bread. Some fromunda cheese. Yeah, make us proud. We like this. Good. Up next, what we're gonna do is...
Yeah, how about a guacamole for the steak?
Whoa. What are you doing? Come on, man. You can't be mixing Mexican and continental. Come on, man. I thought you was better than that.
Name the movie. You know that movie, don't you, Junior? One of your favorites.
All too well, yep.
277-9600. Phone lines have been
everybody
released.
Knows you don't mix Mexican and continental.
No, oh, come on, dude. 277-9600. Name that movie. Win a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Peter. Ahoy.
Peter, ahoy. How are you? Can you name that movie?
That movie is Waiting.
Yes, it is.
That
Waiting.
Was a classic.
Oh, my God. they all worked at Shenanigans.
Yes. Oh, well, excellent movie. I'm in the restaurant business myself.
So. How you doing with your flair?
Just great.
What can I get you?
You know, I just got in my car. I didn't hear what you had. Do you have any barbecue sauce?
I do not. I got Bam's Restaurant. I got Pewter Mug. I got Twin Cuts, 4 locations. Can get a haircut. And maybe
I'm out on Sanibel.
Well, I don't know. But you might have to drive to the mainland.
You might have to ride into town.
Yeah, ride into
town. Oh, man,
the big
that's a
city.
Venture.
Or I got a telescoping back scratcher.
Oh, hey, that sounds great.
You got it. You got one of the final two that we have. Hold on.
Heirloom quality.
Heirloom quality. Hold on. So you get the picture. Films dealing with waiters and waitresses. And here's movie clip number two. Name the movie. This is a great one. Classic.
Excuse me, won't you?
Give us a bottle of your finest champagne, 5 shrimp cocktails, and some bread for my brother.
We have a Dom Perignon 71 at $120.
That'll be fine, pal.
Hey, come on, seriously, you guys. The food here is really expensive. The soup is $10. Come on, let's go outside. I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
We're putting the band back together.
Forget it. No way.
We're on a mission from God.
Hold it. What's this?
Waiter, sir, please, waiter.
Yes, sir. How are your salads?
The salads are fine. It's just that we'd like to move to another table, away from those two gentlemen.
Why, have they been disturbing you?
No, it's just that, well, frankly, they're offensive. Smelling. I mean, they smell bad.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
Maitre d'. Maitre d'.
Do you know that movie too, Junior?
I believe I mentioned that documentary earlier today.
277-9600. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan and Haney?
Yes.
Hey, yeah, that's the Blues Brothers.
It is the Blues Brothers. You're absolutely right. What would you like?
Oh, man, if it was for me, I'd do the Pewter Mug, but I'm going to re-gift to my wife at Christmas. I want the Heirloom Backstretcher.
Yep, last one.
Oh, that's it.
That's it. That closes the door.
You
got to
take that off the board now.
Off the board. Hold
the line. You'll make a woman happy.
Hold the line. Yeah. I'll tell you, it's a good backscratcher, and that's it.
When they're gone.
They're gone. We had them about 10 years ago. We gave away a few of them, and we stored them away and completely forgot about them. I'm going through our file cabinets. Holy cow, we got a bunch
back scratchers galore.
Now they're all gone, completely gone.
The only thing I can think of like that is when we found the lost lot of Dickies.
Yes, those are gone. Movie clip number three. You get the picture, we're dealing with waiters and waitresses in film. Name the movie.
We need to talk. Do you know what this is about?
My flair?
Yeah. Or your lack of flair, because I'm counting and I only see 15 pieces. Let me ask you a question, Joanna. What do you think of a person who only does the bare minimum?
Huh, what do I think? You know what, Stan? If you want me to wear 37 pieces of flair like your pretty boy over there, Brian, why don't you just make the minimum 37 pieces of flair?
Well, I thought I remembered you saying that you wanted to express yourself.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I do. I do want to express myself. Okay? And I don't need 37 pieces of flair to do it. All right? There's my flair. Okay? And this is me expressing myself. Okay? There it is. I hate this job. I hate this goddamn job, and I don't need it.
Where you work, did you have to wear flair?
God, no. Thank God.
Are you still eating over there?
Yeah, man.
All right.
It's my Lunchable. Lunchable.
Is that just one Lunchable?
No, I had another one earlier.
Name the movie.
And you sure that's genuine Genoa salami?
Genoa?
Name the movie. Flair. There was the actual restaurant chain that had to change their whole approach because of that movie and did away with it. Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
Jared.
Jared, can you name the movie?
Office Space.
It is Office Space. You are absolutely correct. What would you like?
What are the prizes? I just turned it on.
I've got, really, just out of happenstance, just turn it. What were you listening to before? Never mind.
I just left work.
Oh, so. How was work today?
Busy.
Oh, good.
Very, very long.
Bam's Restaurant, Pewter Mug, or Twin Cuts Haircuts?
I live in Lake Placid, so I'm not sure if any of those would do me any good.
That won't do you any good. You just want to...
You know, it's a moral victory.
I'm from Naples, so I grew up listening to you guys. But.
I appreciate that, and we're sorry that you're calling from Lake Placid. That's quite a drive.
Do you ever make it over here?
Yeah, I do. I still have family over there, so...
Uh-huh. But, anything here that maybe your family would like that you could pick
up? What are that you said? Pewter Mug and what else?
I got Bam's Restaurant, and I've got Twin Cuts.
What's Bam's Restaurant? Is that Naples or Fort
Myers? That's in Naples.
What kind of, what is that?
Junior, what is it? Bam's. It's a restaurant.
Yeah.
They serve excellent food.
Excellent food.
Okay. Right. I guess I'll get that all for right. my grandpa.
All you right. won't be so. Sorry.
You won't be sorry at all. Hold on.
What is the producer's job?
Always to make the hosts look good.
And he flipped you off.
I know. Congratulations. We're up to movie clip number 4. Restaurant, waiters and waitresses. Name the movie.
A lovely meal.
It sure is. It
certainly does look delicious.
I gotta tell you, this is about a damn perfect even right now.
It is, isn't it? Mmm. You know what we should do? Every week, we should come back to this Applebee's and sit at this table and have a family meal.
That's a great idea, Mama.
And order the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would be delighted, Reese, if you would accompany me to ballroom dancing on Tuesday nights.
Tuesday night.
It's a lot of fun. I think you'd have a good time.
How's everybody doing over here?
Dolly is so good.
Oh,
really?
So good. Okay.
Delicious. You know, I hate to be a pain, darling, but... I asked for no onions on my bourbon steak.
Oh, I am so sorry. I thought you asked for onions.
Maybe don't interrupt me.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Yeah, well, I think you did mean to, and I also think that you meant to put the damn onions on my steak.
Okay, Reese.
Grandfather, can't we resolve this conflict without anger?
You know that movie, Junior? Do you know that one? And before the segment's over, let me know about Bam's Restaurant. I want a good sell on Bam's. They're good people. 277-9600. Name that movie. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Matt.
Matt, can you name the movie?
Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
You got it all, baby. What would you like?
I'll take Pewter Mug.
You got it. Pewter Mug. See, now, Haney and I know the Pewter Mug like the back of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been there.
You're going to love it. Hold on.
It'll be a life-changing experience.
It most certainly will. So, line one, Pewter Mug, Junior. Got one more for you. In the waiter and waitress in film, we still have one more Pewter Mug left. We have Twin Cuts. We have Bam's Restaurant. Name the movie. I saved the easiest for last. This is a no-brainer. Name the movie.
Hi, I'm Buddy. What can I get you?
Let's see. Steak. Oh, yeah. The Douglas Sirk steaks. Have that.
How do you want that cooked? Burnt to a crisp or bloody as hell?
Bloody as hell and, oh, yeah, look at this. Vanilla Coke.
What about you, Peggy Sue?
I'll have the Durward Kirby burger. Bloody. And a $5 shake.
How do you want that shake? Martin and Lewis or Amos and Andy?
Martin and Lewis.
Did you just order a $5 shake?
Mm-hmm.
That's a shake. That's milk and ice cream.
Last I heard.
That's $5. You don't put bourbon in or nothing?
No.
Just checking.
I'll be right back with your drinks. To cry my
trouble away. Name the movie. Name the movie. 277-9600. Excuse me? Did you say something under your breath there?
No, I did.
Okay.
I was just naming the movie.
Oh, did you know that one?
Yes. I knew all of them today. I'm surprised.
Amazing. Maybe you got caught on a piece of genuine Genoa salami.
Genoa?
Name the movie. Ahoy, who's this?
My name's Tom.
Tom, can you name the movie?
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
It is Pulp Fiction. You are absolutely correct. Oh. What would you like?
I guess the haircut.
Sure. Twin cuts, four locations. Men's cuts, women's cuts, beard trims, kids' cuts, hair coloring. You don't need a hair color, do you?
I'm getting pretty old, am I?
Hold on. There we go.
Stan, that was fantastic. It would have been perfect had included one other film. Just one.
Yeah, what's that?
Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
It's Madropides, sir. It's Greek.
This says Meat Drapes.
It's actually pronounced Madropides.
Well, why didn't it sound like that when I say it?
And that concludes Stan's tribute to waiters and waitresses, also hostesses
and hostesses
and general wait staff.
Yes. By the way, anything on that? What did we ask for?
You want to know a little bit about Bam's Restaurant?
I really would.
They got some good stuff on their menu. They got some fried calamari. They got some cold subs, roast beef and cheese. Some chicken salads, some steak and cheese hot subs. Let's see, they have some New England style roast beef, ooh, chicken cordon bleu,
ooh,
white fish or shrimp tacos. Mmm. And all the fixins.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who is Guy Meat Drapes? What kind of name is that?
It's Madropides, sir. It's Greek.
This says Meat Drapes.
Tune in next week for more fun and prizes. From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
Popularity. What is it made of? How does a person get to be popular with lots of people and have a few close friends, too? Let's watch and see what makes people like one person and not another.
Hey, Jerry, there's that girl in our math class.
Carolyn thinks that she has the key to popularity, parking in cars with the boys at night. When Jerry brags about Carolyn, he learns that she dates all the boys.
Nothing like being Miss Popularity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meow, meow.
Okay, Ellie.
Now, why do they invite Carolyn to join their group? Is it because they like the way she looks and dresses? Because she seems as interested in girls as in boys?
I guess you know everybody, don't you? How about you, Wally? Where do you fit in all this?
Oh, I'm a one-man team that does a job with no glory attached.
You sound like you need a hand.
Would you? I mean, would you really?
Sure, I'd like it. I don't know anything, but I could learn.
Oh, I need some help too, Carolyn.
Hey, lay off. I saw her first. I think maybe I'll take Carolyn Saturday night.
Well, better go ahead and ask her. We could work out a double date.
Hello?
I was wondering if you'd like to go to Teen Town, maybe.
Well, yes.
Or if you'd rather go with a gang party. We'd have to leave earlier for that, though.
Wally has used a lot of common sense in putting the invitation this way. It shows he has thought about what Carolyn might like, and he has implied his price range, so she will have some idea of what he can afford when she makes her choice. Carolyn likes it better this way, too. It's doing the girl no favor to leave it entirely up to her. It puts her on a spot.
All right, Wally. On Saturday at 5, then. Bye.
Well, that phone call didn't go on for hours. A pretty sensible attitude toward telephone conversations. Carolyn keeps a calendar. Not a bad idea. She'll never have the embarrassment of forgetting a date, or of being ready an hour too late. Wally felt at ease with Carolyn and will be eager to return to her.
Ladies and gentlemen, to continue, please warmly welcome with us
Stan and Haney Afternoons, 96 K-Rock.
Why does the movie always break at the best part?
Well, a good AV guy could have saved the day, yeah. But I'm long retired from that.
Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Mark Haney. And the news coming up here in just a second. We want to get you updated on traffic. it's what they call in the business the sinus drain into the stomach, which in turn makes Stan feel ill.
Stan is suffering from what doctors call post-nasal drip.
Yep. With various side effects.
But don't worry, folks. He's on his way to have his head examined.
I got a tip from a road watcher just a little while ago. 41 is a parking lot north of Island Park. It's called Everybody Going Home. Also on the board, we have a disabled vehicle. Lehigh Acres, Lee Boulevard, and Gunnery Road North. And you are up to date. One more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Southwest Florida's most respected anchor man.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words,
Mark Haney
was the balls.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, September 8th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
We are darned lucky that Liechtenstein and Haiti never went to war.
You're darn right we are.
From 1921 to 1936, Liechtenstein and Haiti had the exact same flag, but nobody knew it.
Well, I guess it could happen.
They didn't find out until the 1936 Olympics.
Those were the Hitler Olympics.
Now, what to do? Two proud nations with the same flag.
I'd go with seniority rules.
Well, Liechtenstein appeared to back down.
Oh.
Haiti thought they had won. Because Liechtenstein says, you know what, Haiti? Fine. We will alter our flag. And Haiti said, hell yes. Fists in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti! Haiti! Haiti!
Yeah.
But Liechtenstein is a tiny, passive-aggressive company. So, a country. Actually, more like a company. How did they alter their flag?
How'd they do it?
They kept it the same, but put a crown on it.
All right, I like that.
So that we're the best at this flag.
Yes. Yep, we're the kings of the flag.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, the delay on 41, our road watchers are on top of it. It is an accident. Northbound lanes are blocked at Briarcliff Road. So there you go.
We all know Bill Nye, the science guy.
Sure do. He's been a guest on this show.
And he and I had a wonderful time.
Well, yeah, locked horns.
Bill Nye, the science guy, does not have a degree in any science field.
Why does that not surprise me?
Now, that's not to say that he doesn't have a degree. He does. He graduated from Cornell in 1977 with a degree in mechanical engineering.
All right, that's a pretty good degree.
It's a pretty good degree, but not much to do with what he's talking about.
Right, your physical sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you told him so.
We had a blast.
Yeah, we did.
And he seemed to be genuinely amused.
Yes. Seemed to be.
You don't think he was?
I don't know. I got the interview somewhere. I'll give it a listen.
You know, with what's going on in our country, obviously there's a lot of parallels to the Cultural Revolution in Red China.
Yeah.
Where capitalism was evil, mm-hmm. and mobs would go after successful business people.
Yeah.
And initially they just beat them before the killing started. It's not a good place to be if you got on the bad side of the Red Guards.
Oh, I wouldn't think so.
And here's just a simple example for you of what communist China was like in the 60s and 70s during the Cultural Revolution. Mangoes were so popular with the communist Chinese that you could not criticize a mango.
What do you mean you couldn't criticize a mango?
A man made the big mistake. A man who didn't care for the mango.
Never did.
Had the nerve.
The
unmitigated gall to compare a mango to sweet potatoes. Can you imagine?
Oh my God. What?
He was put on trial in the People's Court for malicious slander and summarily executed.
Wow. You brought up the People's Court, different court. But you know the TV show with Judge Wapner? Remember when we were, you know, years and years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It was Judge Wapner and Rusty Burrell. Mm-hmm. And then what was his name? Llewellyn would be the interviewer.
Mm-hmm. Remember, if it sounds too good to be true,
that show is still on TV. Because I was sick for a couple of days.
I thought everybody died.
Llewellyn, the reporter, who interviews him at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He's alive. And they got I think it's a woman judge they have now, and a different bailiff. But when they leave the courtroom now, Llewellyn's interview.
Well, that's where we learn what we've learned.
Yes, right. Still done the same. Still the same courtroom. Still.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and he interviews him on the back wall. They have big framed 8x10 portraits of Judge Wapner and Rusty Burrell.
Isn't that lovely?
They're sitting there, same everything except different.
Watching over us,
and they're watching over us.
Oh, that is just special.
I'm like, this is unbelievable. This show is still on, and they're the framed in a place of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty Burrell and Judge Wapner.
Yeah, almost like the Kim family in Korea.
Yes! By the way, I didn't know this either because it got me on a... Rusty Burrell was a real bailiff in Los Angeles County, and he was the bailiff during the Charles Manson trials. And then he went on to big
Distinguished
TV.
Distinguished bailiff.
Distinguished. And they're both looking over us on the new people's court.
I don't know about you, but it makes me feel better about it.
It does.
We're not dishonoring them
exactly.
By watching this show.
Correct.
I'm going to ask for your help on this one, Stan.
Okay.
Because we had a producer many, many years ago who was instrumental to the success of this show. But initially, you didn't know what to make of him.
I didn't know what to make of him.
We called him Jokey, and you would get very mad at him.
Yes.
Because a big part of the show then was him booking guests for the show.
Oh, God.
And he was very good at it.
He'd get them.
But you didn't like his methods, and he explained to you one day the reason that he really only worked one day a week.
Yep. It's...
Can you run through
Yes.
Jokey's theory of the days of the week and how Yeah. it relates to work?
Well, you got Monday through Friday. And he worked.
He was physically present.
Monday through Friday. But he said, on Monday, you're not going to get anything done. You're over with the weekend. You're not.
And you're thinking about the past
you're thinking
weekend.
About the weekend, what you did. You want to tell everybody on Monday what you did this weekend. You played golf. You went boating. You went and did mm-hmm. something. Went to see a concert. And,
too many distractions.
Too
no
many
work gets done on a Monday.
Everybody wants to know how your weekend was. Tuesday, you begin to prepare for your work week. Getting your things in order, find out who you need to call.
You've realized you're at work, right. But you're not really ready to dive in
yet. You realize you got to make some appointments and stuff. Tuesday's an organizational day. Just get yourself prepared to do work.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, you're working. That's where you get everybody booked. That's where everybody answers their phone calls. You don't get the voicemail. You get emails responded
If it's going to happen, it'll happen on Wednesday.
Thursday... Well, it's heading towards the end of the week. You're thinking about the weekend. You know, if you just get through Thursday,
you've realized that you're awfully close to Friday.
Yeah,
so why bother?
Why bother? It's coming to the end. Nothing will get done. And then Friday, you're thinking about the weekend, and
nothing gets done
nothing
on Friday.
So the only day that you technically work and things get done is on Wednesday.
Now,
and he believed that,
and it worked for him.
And it worked for him.
Now, you and I had...
He used to call people on Monday or Tuesday when I demanded. I said, you get on the phone, and he said, well, I'll hear back from him on Wednesday. That's when he'd hear back from him, and that's when he would book it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you and I had never heard this theory before.
Never heard it before.
But I have a story in front of me that takes that theory to a whole new level. And I don't know if Jokey wrote this, if he's some sort of consultant now. But when I'm finished with this, you tell me if this sounds like jokey to you. Today is what's known as the beginning of the back nine of the year at work. Any slacking off for the summer is over, and now it's time to sprint towards the holidays. And that means everyone's trying to take care of all business today. That's why they tell me the day after Labor Day is known as Telephone Tuesday, the day with the most business phone calls of the year. They say the average person will get 50% more work calls today than any normal day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, next month, Halloween's here, and you know how quickly Thanksgiving comes after Halloween, and that puts you right in the Christmas season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm already thinking about Halloween.
Yeah. What I'm going to wear.
So we're starting the back nine of the year. Slacking off for summer is over.
Yeah.
And today we need to make phone calls so we can start thinking about the holidays.
That's right. Right around the corner.
Oh, jeez. And we laugh at this stuff?
Yeah.
But it's proven to be true.
It's all true.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, you know, Stan and I have both been through sensitivity training.
Yes, we have been.
Where we have been taught that as Christian white males, we are the only class of people that are unprotected. And it seems to be more and more true every day. A hair salon in England recently put up an ad. They were seeking a new stylist.
Okay.
And they had the job description and the type of person they were looking for. And in the ad, they said, quote, "This is a busy, friendly, small salon, so only happy, friendly stylist need apply."
Okay.
The owner received a call last week from the government advising that she needed to change the ad immediately or face the consequences. Why?
Why?
She was told, quote, "The word happy is a discriminatory word, and you're not allowed to use it, as someone who is not happy will be discriminated against."
Then they don't work for me.
That's not your place.
Oh, jeez. What the hell? Happy.
I would think if you were unhappy, you'd realize that's not probably a good fit.
Yeah.
I don't like being around happy people. I'm unhappy.
Yep.
This is insane.
Well, we're not really getting started yet, Stan. If you can't handle that, we probably should call it a day. You know, it's become a thing, I guess, but as we were growing up, there was no such thing as buying a birthday gift for yourself.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's become a thing, I guess.
Yep. I'm going to buy myself. I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to have a birthday gift. I'm going to get myself something I want.
Which brings us to 33-year-old Ashley Spencer of beautiful Palm Bay, Florida.
Haney and I lived there for a spell. It's kind of like an offshoot of Melbourne.
Was that Melbourne or Melbourne?
It's kind of like Cape Coral is to Fort Myers.
Yeah.
You have Melbourne, What? And then the little offshoot there is Palm Bay.
Yeah. They were both where elderly people were swindled into buying swampland in Florida.
Correct.
Well, 33-year-old Ashley Spencer turns 34 in a few weeks. Whoa. On the 26th of this month.
That's a biggie for her.
And she decided to treat herself, to buy herself a birthday gift that would make her happy.
Aw, that's so nice.
And she did the only thing she really could do.
What's that?
She tried to hire a hitman to take out her husband's mistress and told the hitman she wanted it done prior to her birthday so it could be her gift to herself.
Aww, that is so adorable. It's precious.
She offered the hitman $2,000 for the job.
What a cheap son of...
No, no, no. She offered $2,000 from the job, but she was hands-on.
Yeah.
And was willing to help the hitman plan the murder.
Okay, good. Want it done right. It's my gift.
Now, Stan, shockingly, the hitman turned out to be an undercover police officer. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard to believe that a $2,000 hitman might be an undercover officer. She was arrested on two felony counts, solicitation to commit murder and solicitation to commit burglary. I guess she wanted some stuff, too.
Do we have a picture? Maybe we know her. No, I don't know her. Never met her before in my life.
Nope, never seen her.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, well, that's odd, Stan. She claims that she was your girlfriend at one point. Came to your place of business.
Yep, that happened.
I'm going to tell you right now, this story is true.
Yes, it is.
It's not believable, but it's true. A man named Jimmy McDonald was kayaking last month in Lake George, New York.
That's a beautiful area.
When his kayak tipped over, Jimmy says he was clinging to the boat with only one hand and his new $1,400 cell phone in the other, trying to stay above water. He realized his chances weren't good. Guess not a strong swimmer.
Yeah. I mean, it's Lake George. Come on.
And Jimmy believed he was about to drown, realized his new $1,400 cell phone was worthless.
That's the key right there.
And on the verge of death, realizing the cell phone can't help me, he did the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He prayed to God for help.
Yeah, that's about all you could do at that point in time.
Well, God was listening. Because when he opened his eyes, he saw a floating tiki bar filled with multiple Catholic priests.
Father.
An entire group of local priests had booked the tiki tour for sightseeing, and they were floating down the lake when they saw Jimmy struggling. He was so exhausted, he couldn't even swim to the boat, so the priests joined forces and hauled him up to the tiki bar.
It's amazing!
Even more amazing, they got him up into the big boat and his cell phone never got wet.
It's a miracle. There they are right there. I like that. Is there any place around here that has a floating tiki bar where you can rent it and you got the bar and the tiki and you're just floating around? And
a sober person to drive the boat?
Yeah. Floating tiki bar. Well, you know none of those priests were sober. And I'll tell you.
Think about that, though. Going under. I'm going under for the last
one. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord, help me. Son, here, come on. Here you go, son. In, up to the tiki bar you go.
Oh, is that you, Father O'Malley?
What are you having, Jimmy McDonald? This one's on the lard. And that's the news for today, Tuesday, September 8th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
I see.
There he is.
There he goes.
Little Monkey Haney telling it like it.
You all right over there? I saw like no sail come up on your face.
My computer froze up for a second, so I was worried I wasn't going to hit it.
Yeah, what happened? Some olive juice and Genoa salami get stuck in there?
No, I'm on TripAdvisor trying to find you a floating tiki.
I don't think he understands this job.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing his news.
I mean,
this
he means
afternoon.
Well, but
yeah. Well, I appreciate him finding me that, but if his computer is froze up,
you know, first things first.
Yeah, get Howard out there. Make sure that's okay, and have. Although we didn't need it today, the shame. We didn't need it today, but
no.
Always have it at the ready. But
no, it's the opposite today. Yeah. You know, the priest saved the guy's life.
Yeah. Any word on that tiki? Is there a tiki floating tiki bar?
There's some rumors floating around the internet that there's one near Bonita. I'm trying to find it right now.
You know what would be nice?
Well, it would be nice.
If we could find a floating tiki with a fully stocked bar.
Yeah.
And maybe some heavy apps, like maybe some genuine Genoa salami.
With olives.
Yeah, and a cheese.
Yeah, you picked that up at a gas station. We'll be back.
And it's an adult lunchable.
It is. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, it's Dave and Chuck the Freak. And now, back to Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock. Everything that rocks.
Thank you for saying that, Dave and Chuck the Freak. Stan and Haney here. Get a final look at traffic here for you. See what's going on. A little busy right now. Let's start in Cape Coral. Got a crash. Northeast Pine Island Road and Andalusia Boulevard. North Fort Myers. Disabled vehicle. At number 12 Becker Drive. At Mariana Heights. Fort Myers crash, 18,000 block of South Tamiami Trail. And in Bonita, disabled vehicle, I-75 southbound at mile marker 116. And you are up to date.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest songs of all time.
Just leave it to me.
What are we listening to? Tell everybody.
Your troubles.
The title will be apparent.
I know. Who's singing it?
Faye Adams. When the Groove Monsters used to do that?
I don't remember.
Steve Miller behind that B3?
Oh, I remember him.
grenade.
Mm-hmm. At least it's something you can do. Not like a Vulcan thing you can't do.
I can't do that. See? I can do this.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Women come up with ideas. Here's one from a couple of weeks ago. Richard, I found out about a vacation me and you can go on. We go up to the Pacific Northwest. We get in a kayak, and we kayak right alongside the beautiful killer whales. I never would have thought of that on my own. Hold on, let me think about it, honey. No! You want to go out to a whale, first name, Killer. It'll be okay. We'll be on the kayak. I go, why do you want to do this? We'll see the whale in his natural habitat. I go, honey, that's exactly where I don't want to see him. That is where the killer whale does 100% of his killing. He's a beautiful animal. You think he's a beautiful animal because you don't watch the nature shows like I do. I've seen that whale in action. I've seen the little English guy going, here we are at the water's edge, looking at the most adorable little animal in all the world. It's a tiny baby seal pup. There's no cuter animal than, watch this. A greyhound bus with an eyeball has come up behind it. It's a killer whale. The seal's mother can only watch helplessly for this whale.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll do it all over again. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Mike Tyson. I guess him and Roy Jones Jr. has been pushed back a little bit.
Oh, you mean like any movie you want to see or any album you want to hear, it's been pushed back.
Unlike, and I'm going to use this as a footnote before I get
it. It doesn't matter.
Story.
Video games, everything. Well, that's been postponed.
Have you heard Oscar De La Hoya wants to make a comeback, and he calls the Roy Jones Jr. Tyson thing a bunch of BS because it's an exhibition. De La Hoya wants to come back as soon as possible and fight for real.
All right, so Tyson, Jones, and then you'll have De La Hoya, Camacho, number what?
Well, Camacho's dead.
He's got a son, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got, yes, Hector Macho Camacho Jr.
Yeah. Nobody needs to know that the Macho Man is dead.
Yeah.
It's just De La Hoya Camacho, and then Roman numerals. Yep.
Magic. Mike Tyson's being...
Did we see the last one?
Of the Camacho? His Camacho's last fight?
Yeah, didn't we see him in De La Hoya?
Yeah, we saw...
What number was that?
That was the first and only time they met. And De La Hoya creamed him.
That was the only time they fought?
I'm 90% sure.
Okay.
But back to Mike Tyson.
But a lot of star power.
Yeah.
He was being interviewed. Admits that he has gotten sexually aroused while training for big fights. And that.
And why did we need to know this? No judgment if that happens to you, Iron Mike, but why do we need to be burdened with that?
He wants to tell you.
Here you are. It's not real, but sometimes I struggle with the fact of, wow, the possibility that I can really hurt somebody.
What do you mean? But you struggle with the possibility that you could hurt them?
That is sometimes, it's orgasmic sometimes.
Mm.
Yeah. Hey, what does it mean, when fighting gets you erect, what does that mean?
It's a good question. It means you're getting excited.
Yeah.
So that's going through your mind right now?
Well, that's how I get when I was a kid. And I, you know, sometimes I get the twinkle.
Saying that it gets you orgasmic, that's a strange thing to say.
Well, that's just what I wanted. I wanted to find out because you're really bright. And I thought you would figure it out. No, I'm being very serious.
No, I know. I know you're being serious. But, I mean, no one will understand that other than you.
Laughter. Oh, laughter. Not that. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
Today is Star Trek Day.
Oh, today's Star Trek Day?
Yep.
That's a Star Warsy.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
fun facts about Star Trek.
Top fun facts about Star Trek.
When the Vulcan nerve pitch didn't work.
Is it pitch or pinch?
Pinch.
Okay. Star Trek, Star Trek, pinch, the what?
When the Vulcan nerve pinch didn't work, Spock used the Vulcan kick in the nads. See, I was worried about saying Vulcan.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Ever since that island.
Hey!
Crew members in red shirts worked part-time at Target.
Yep. He's got the wrong show.
Yeah, he's got tremendous Star Wars assets.
I've just about had enough of you.
And not a single Star Trek.
No, not a single track.
Why do they call them Trekkies when it's Star Trek?
I don't know. I don't know either.
Bunch of bitches.
One time, a bumper sticker that reads, "Beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life down here," was purchased by a man who'd had sex with an actual woman. Some of the alien creatures featured on the original Star Trek cost nearly $1.95 to make.
That's right.
Spock was the only cast member to appear in the pilot, which you'd already know if you've ever been on a date with someone named Marty or Miles. And finally, the very top fun fact about Star Trek.
Yes, fun fact about Star Trek.
Since its mission was to boldly go where no man's gone before, The very first episode took place in a Joanne fabric store. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis, up the building.
That's it, baby.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day's a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.